You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
95BFM News Election Coverage 2020. Housing.
And it didn't. To finish off our week with a focus on housing, reporter Jack Marshall spoke with Associate Spokesperson for Housing of the National Party, Simon O'Connor, about how National would tackle the issue of housing if they were to win the election.
So maybe would you be able to start with a bit of an overview of what voters can expect from National's housing policy?
Yeah, look, some really good questions. I think first thing is National will be rolling out policy, you know, day by day, week by week as we approach the election. But of housing, if you wanted to quickly divide it into two areas, one's just overall housing. In other words, anyone who wants to be able to buy a house, rent a house, a big part of it for National is sorting out the RMA, the Resource Management Act, trying to ensure there's proper competition for building materials and so forth in order to, you know, try to reduce the cost of housing. But probably the biggest area and issue is social housing. So everyone from first home buyers right through to those in transitional housing to homelessness. And I suppose the short answer is National wants to keep building state houses. That's really important. But we want to more fully cooperate with the community housing providers. So the likes of the Vision Wests or Community Housing Aotearoa, Habitat for Humanity and so forth. They say they can build more. We want to support them doing that.
It feels like a little bit of a turnaround because I know in the past National was looking to sell off the housing stock of social housing. Is that kind of a pivot there in today's world?
No, I think the whole National selling off state houses is very badly misunderstood. Some houses were sold, but often actually to community providers. I think of even in my own electorate, what were once Housing New Zealand houses were effectively sold to another group called the Tamaki Redevelopment Company, which still has social housing as their mandate. So this wasn't National devolving or getting rid of state houses. It was often transferring them by sale. So it's not really a pivot. I think what National sees now is we've gone from about 5,000 families when we left government waiting for a state house to about 18,500 now, who are waiting. And so it's a matter of not only the state or the Crown building as much as they can, but allowing the likes of, as I say, community housing providers to do the same.
So something, you know, in the 1930s, we had these programs where the state was heavily involved with building houses. And then in today's government, we've got this Labor government that says it is going to build all these houses, but obviously fell woefully short of actually what their promises were. Should the government be involved in actually building more houses? Was that something we could see from a national government where the state actually exerts its, you know, buying power to build more houses faster?
Oh, there's certainly a place for the Crown or the government to be building houses. I certainly don't sit on the side of buying. If the government's going out buying houses, then in a sense they're taking away options from first home buyers. In other words, you know, you and I end up competing with the government in an auction that's not going to win. So the government's got to build as many as they can. But I think the really important thing for National is that we also cooperate with other entities that also want to build. So yeah, community housing providers or iwi, church groups, councils. If there are other groups that want to build, let's cooperate with them. In other words, the government doesn't have to do this alone.
So would you be able to give me any kind of tangible numbers or policy proposals that we can expect, or, you know, just something solid that, you know, national government under you would build X number of houses this way? Or what tangible thing could we expect from a national-led government?
I think you'll see the current state housing build be maintained. So I think the government's been building about 1,300 new state houses a year. So I think you could see National being at least in that ballpark or trying to get a little bit more. It's certainly looking at a substantial fund or a strong fund so community housing providers can access. That I haven't nailed down the final figure yet. But what's really important there is a fund that these community groups can tap to help them build and in turn build their equity, which means that those groups then go to the bank, get their loans and build more. In other words, you're trying to develop a system that's going to help.
And then talking about the housing stock we currently have, because there are definitely discrepancies in the houses people live in, basically. You know, if you go into poor poorer socioeconomic areas. So how do we improve the housing stock, making sure we have warm, dry, healthy homes? Because from things in the media, from the National Party, it sounded like, you know, Healthy Homes Act could potentially be gutted, things like that. So I think just a bit of clarity about where the National Party is looking to take healthy homes.
Yeah, look, everyone wants healthy homes. Warm, dry homes are a given. And it's mischief, not by you, but, you know, those who suggest that, you know, we don't or National doesn't. The key is, how do you introduce those changes, but also don't inflate the cost of particularly tenants? In other words, you know, this current government's come in and piled a whole lot of new and costly regulations on landlords and itself, which at one level is good. You know, everyone wants insulation, better drainage and so forth. But if it overinflates the costs of renting, for example, well, that's putting enormous pressure on tenants. So National's more about, how do we make those healthy changes, but firstly in a way that cooperates between tenants and landlords, and in a time frame which allows the cost to be well apportioned. And again, healthy, dry homes, but you don't want rents going through the roof. I suppose the other thing that National was doing this before it left office was making sure all state houses were insulated. There definitely needs to be a focus on maintaining and upgrading the existing housing stock. Very easy to be captured by, hey, look at the new homes, whereas you go, hey, we still have existing ones. And the other, without getting too heavy, is again the RMA. If we can make building houses cheaper, then we can access better building techniques and technologies to make the homes warm and dry, or, you know, even for argument's sake, invest in solar panels and the like. But at the moment, you know, if you're trying to build an affordable home, tens of thousands are being spent again on regulations and RMA consents. Wouldn't it be great if we could make that simpler and quicker and spend that money on better insulation, double glazing, better drainage system, ventilation, you know, all of that?
I think just the point on the Healthy Homes Act and, you know, having those, you know, instead of just incentivizing landlords to put in, you know, insulation and a heat pump or something like that, the fact is that they're making all their money off capital gains as their house rises in price. So they're not really concerned with, you know, those kind of smaller things that might benefit the tenant. So I think the argument is that, you know, making these kind of bare minimum levels is actually something that needs enforcing because the market's not doing it itself.
Yeah, I wouldn't fully agree. I think actually most tenants are great and most landlords are great. And I don't think, you know, landlords are sitting there going, oh, I'm just going to make money and screw the tenants. That's not what happens in the majority of cases. But, you know, the thing about capital gains, if it happens, stress if, it's a gain down the track. Okay, so it's all theoretical until you've actually sold that asset or that house. But if you slam a landlord almost overnight, as the government's done, drainage requirements, heating requirements.
Those are really like the kind of minimum ideas, you know, like having a warm home. It's not overly radical, is it?
No, the concept isn't. But if you're talking about someone who's ringed out an old home from the 1950s, then trying to upgrade that to a modern standard costs an enormous amount of money. So no one's against the idea, but we have to be realistic that in some cases there are enormous costs involved, and two things are going to happen, or three. One, they'll wear the cost. Two, they'll pass the costs on to the tenant. Or three, as a number of landlords have done, they just empty the house. They say, actually, it's just far too expensive for me to upgrade this house. Out you all go. And then you have another four, five, six people looking for a property. So again, it's really important to say that you want warm, dry homes, but we also have to live in the real world, which is there are some houses which take a lot of money to upgrade them.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.